Ticket City presents Why You Go to the Game to see Georgia Southern.
The play is known simply as the run. Peterson took a handoff up the middle, broke a tackle at the line of scrimmage, spins away from the next defender he meets, and he shakes off a diving tackler. 30 yards down the field, he meets another defender and literally throws him out of the way with his right arm, grabs him by the shoulder pad, and swipes him off onto the sideline. It was really so surreal because the place is going completely berserk during the run until he throws off that defender. He throws off that defender, the whole place went silent, stone silent, like an intake of breath. It was just so amazing. Nobody had ever seen it before. And then, of course, the place exploded again after they all caught their breath.
Put yourself in the action with Ticket City. Visit SavannahNow.com/sports and click on tickets.
Oh, he will. Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
Down the sideline. If he can get loose, he's gone. Iligwe will score.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown, Georgia Southern.
All right, Georgia Southern fans, welcome to another episode of Georgia Southern Extra. I am Travis Jadon, the beat writer for Georgia Southern at the Savannah Morning News. Not much to say, Eagles fans. A 35-21 loss to Troy on Saturday leaves Eagles fans on Sunday with a sinking feeling because you know it was a program that was riding so high and a team that was riding so high coming in to the ULM game last week, and obviously we know what happened in Monroe. We talked at ends about that, but against Troy, I think you saw Georgia Southern get beat by a team that was better than them. Period. I mean, Troy was a better football team than Georgia Southern on Saturday. I think if they were to play each other again next Saturday, Troy would be a better football team then. So, you know, there is some reason to take solace in that, because if you lose to a team that's better than you, you can live with that. You know, against ULM, Georgia Southern was a better football team than ULM, and they just got outplayed. I think things were different on Saturday, but I did notice some things that kind of caught my attention, and really some things that have generally been a problem for Georgia Southern all season long kind of came to the forefront on Saturday and in the loss. Let's start with some good things first. Then I'll go to the lengthy list of bad things and takeaways I saw. And then finally, we'll end with some tweets from you guys, some questions, comments that we'll run down about the game yesterday and about the season moving forward. We said 35-21 loss puts Georgia Southern at 4-3 now, 4-2 in the conference, and in third place in the Sun Belt East. They're one game behind App State, who has one loss, and App State and Troy will play each other to close out the season. So if Troy were to win that game and Georgia Southern were to win out its last two games at Coastal Carolina and at Georgia State, the Eagles would be the number two team out of the Sun Belt East and presumably the number three team out of the Sun Belt overall in terms of the bowl season and the postseason outlook. So let's start with some of the bad things from Saturday. I mean, some of the good things. I'm already trying to get to the bad things. Let's start with the good things from Saturday. And I definitely want to start with quarterback Shy Wirtz, because I was obviously harsh on Shy last week because he didn't play well at ULM. He said as much in his Monday press conference a week ago. And, I thought he stepped up, showed some toughness on Saturday against Troy, showed some fight, and showed the talent that we all know he has. Wirtz ended up 14 of 23 passing for 190 yards. That's a career high for him, with two touchdown passes, both to tight end Ellis Richardson. Obviously, 23 passes for Wirtz is a lot. 14 completions is solid. Wirtz remains the number one efficient passer in the Sun Belt Conference, one of the more efficient passers in the country as a whole. But Wirtz was really good, I thought. You know, controlling the game, and especially early in the game, one of the first few drives, Wirtz took a really hard hit and got back up on third down on the following play. He took a hard hit on second down, and then on third down, he scrambled to his left, and couldn't find anyone, then scrambled back right and eventually made a play for the Eagles with his feet, converting a third down with his legs. But really what stood out for me with Wirtz was his ability to throw the touch pass and his ability to throw a couple of bullet passes. There was one in the second half that I thought he put right on the numbers to Obie Fortune on a little slant route. I think the game was out of hand at this point, but that ball could have been caught. Good defense on Fortune, but it could have been caught. And then there was another ball to the sideline that fell just off of Richardson's hands, a little touch pass kind of over one defender and in front of another that was perfectly placed. A tough catch for Richardson, but it was a well-thrown ball. And with Wirtz, we know that Georgia Southern has a more than capable quarterback, and they decided to let him shoulder some of the burden on Saturday coming into the game, and he produced for the most part for them. Now, he wasn't very successful rushing, but then again, none of the Georgia Southern team was. We'll get to that shortly. But yeah, I wanted to just right off the bat comment on Wirtz because, you know, he didn't play well against ULM. I said that, and when he played well against Troy, I'm going to say that also. So props to Wirtz. Unfortunately, it comes in a loss, but I thought he played well. And that, you know, that's something to hang your hat on moving forward. Georgia Southern also won the turnover battle again. What else is new? Georgia Southern is plus 21 now in turnover margin, which is just a stupid number. I mean, plus 21 is unheard of. That's number one in the Sun Belt. I guess, you know, that's pretty obvious that it's number one in the conference. It's number one in the country as well. As far as turnover margin goes, I believe it was a Logan Hunt forced fumble and a Kendrick Duncan Jr. recovery that ended up leading to 7 Georgia Southern points. I believe it was a second Richardson touchdown pass that led to or that followed the Kendrick Duncan fumble recovery. So, you know, that's another plus for Georgia Southern to be winning the turnover battle. And Lunsford talked about that after the game. You know, they still aren't really penalizing. The penalties have creeped up a little bit more, but they're still, you know, one of the better teams in the Sun Belt and one of the better teams in the country as far as not penalizing themselves. So those two things have kind of stood the test of time throughout this season. So that's encouraging that even when a lot of things are going wrong, that Georgia Southern still isn't really beating itself with turnovers and or penalties. I thought the linebackers played well to get to another point that I thought was a positive takeaway. The linebackers played better than they did at ULM. They tackled better. I thought Tamarcio Reese and Rashad Byrd were really good in the middle. Reese led the team in tackles with 9. And on his senior day, he showed out. You know, the defense was exposed. We all know that. We'll get to that shortly. But Reese answered the bell against an offense that really puts a lot of stress on linebackers. Reese was a really good player in the middle for Georgia Southern on Saturday. So that's another positive to take away from the game. And then I guess the last positive I had to take away from the game is that it's over. Because, you know, it was tough to sit there in the second half and kind of watch the team, you know, just have very little success on offense and more or less get run over, run through, and run past by the Troy offense. So that's the last positive, is that that thing is over. Let's move on to the kind of the negative things I saw on Saturday. Obviously, there's a lot to pick from. I'm going to give you guys a couple things that I saw. And I encourage you, after listening to this podcast, if you see something, if you rewatch the game or if you were at the game on Saturday, if you see something that you'd like commented on or a question, definitely let us know. You can email me at tjaudon, J-A-U-D-O-N, at savannahnow.com or tweet at me at Jaudon Sports. So let's get to some of the bad things. After the first quarter, I thought on Saturday, Troy adjusted. Georgia Southern didn't. You know, and it's clear when you're watching the game that that's the case. It's also clear when you look at the numbers after the game. In the first quarter, Georgia Southern rushed for 51 yards, put up 14 points, and 130 total yards. So 51 rushing yards and 130 total yards in the first quarter. Rushing yards for the second, third, and fourth quarter combined for Georgia Southern, 50 yards. So they had more rushing yards in the first quarter than they did for the rest of the game. And then they had 291 offensive yards total in the ball game. 130 of those come in the first quarter. So first quarter, 130 yards. Second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter combined, you saw Georgia Southern gain 161 yards. That's obviously not going to cut it. Troy gained 454 yards of total offense, including 140 rushing yards. So Georgia Southern was outrushed by an opponent for the first time since November 10th, 2016 against Louisiana. So 2 years to the day exactly that Georgia Southern was last outrushed by an opponent. And, you know, that's obviously, if Georgia Southern's getting outrushed, things did not go well. And we know that sitting here on Sunday evening, that yesterday did not go well. So, you know, Troy adjusted. They were putting 7, 8, sometimes even 9 men in the box, late in the second quarter and really into the second half. Georgia Southern decided not to adjust. It, at some point, it kind of seemed like Georgia Southern was just banging its head against a brick wall. I mean, you see, you look over the offensive line and you see 7, 8 defenders in the box. You know, the chances of you having a successful running play when you see that kind of defensive look are pretty slim. You don't have to be Vince Lombardi to know that about football. And, you know, I know the coaching staff knows that, but I truly believe that the coaching staff and the players have the confidence, enough confidence in the offense to go right at any defense that chooses to load the box against them. And they did that on Saturday, and we saw what happened. Troy won that battle. You know, they won a lot of individual battles, and they won the defense versus offense battle. So, you know, the fact that Georgia Southern didn't adjust, or at least, you know, their adjustments didn't work as well as Troy's adjustments did, was kind of disheartening, because Troy came into the game having really lit up the scoreboard in first halves all year. They averaged only 9 points a game, I believe. Or, no, I think it was 5 points a game. I think coming into the Georgia Southern game, Troy had scored 45 points in the second half through 9 games. So, you know, they scored 18 in the second half on Saturday, so they doubled up what their average was coming into the game. I guess, secondly, a thing that I've talked about all year long, really, and, you know, this came to the forefront on Saturday against Troy, and we saw it, you know, really hinder the Georgia Southern offense. And you guys can check out my column in Monday's Savannah Morning News. It's online now, savannahnow.com/sports. Georgia Southern's option offense has very little options. And by that, I mean there is no variation in tempo. There's very little variation in plays. We know that. There is variation in what they do pre-snap and kind of how they line up, how many receivers are on the field. They'll go 2 tight ends a lot, no tight ends, 1 tight end, 3 running backs, 1 running back, 3 wide receivers. I mean, they'll line up differently a lot, but we know that the option offense is limited in its play options, if you will. So the thing that gets me is I'd love to see Georgia Southern begin to implement some sort of tempo every now and again in a given game. So by that I mean, you know, if you hit on a big play and the defense is reeling, which I think was the case in the first quarter and early on in the second quarter, then maybe once in a while think about rushing to the line on the next play, just for a play, to keep Troy's defense on the field instead of waiting till 10, 9, 8, 7 seconds left on the play clock to break the huddle and then get to the line. If you're at the line of scrimmage with, you know, less than 10 seconds left on the play clock, you're not going to be able to get to the line of scrimmage, scan the defense, and then adjust accordingly. And I know that Georgia Southern's not going to run a hurry-up offense. That's not what I'm asking. I'm not even asking them to run a no-huddle. I just would love to see every now and again a little bit of tempo just to keep some momentum, to keep some pace instead of, you know, a 30, 35, 40 second huddle to allow the defense to adjust every single play to you. I'd love Georgia Southern to turn the tables, if you will, on the defense and make the defense adjust to Georgia Southern on the fly with the personnel it has on the field instead of the other way around. Too often I see Georgia Southern kind of trying to outsmart the opposing defense before they even know what the defense is going to line up in. And, you know, go back and watch the game. You'll see. Pause these plays on ESPN Plus when you rewatch it. Pause them before the snap and look how Troy is lined up. Look how many guys they have within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. And then look and see how often on those plays that Georgia Southern was running it right up the middle. I know Shywertz has the option to keep it, and there's, you know, there's other options on individual plays. But at some point, there's got to be some sort of variation in either tempo or play calls to get the offense going and to stop allowing the defense to basically know what Georgia Southern's going to be in before they even snap the ball. You know, it's pretty archaic, I think, to just call a play in a huddle, walk to the line of scrimmage, and then snap the ball without any regard to what the defense is lined up in. All right, maybe I'm wrong on that. I mean, you guys can let me know what you think, but, you know, if you're the only team in the country doing something, and Georgia Southern really is one of the only teams in the country that huddles, that's fine and well. But when you're the only team in the country that does something, and that something begins to not work, you got to really look around and consider adjusting. So that's something that I've really just had a hard time understanding, and I'd love to see it change moving forward. Another thing that was really obvious on Saturday was Georgia Southern's inability to cover the middle of the field in the passing game, especially off of run-pass options. I think it's pretty obvious that Troy took a look at the ULM film, the ULM Georgia Southern film, and saw what ULM did, and that's use the read pass option to lure the linebackers towards the line of scrimmage right after the snap, and with two safeties over the top, if you're running more than one route downfield, which Troy was running plenty of routes downfield all day, it's nearly impossible to cover all the receivers. And too often this year, and especially on Saturday, we have seen wide open receivers across the middle of the field especially. I've seen a lot of people comment on Kendall Vildor and Monquavion Brinson. I'm not going to dispute the fact that Brinson and Vildor have struggled over the last 2 weeks, but let's not forget the previous 8 weeks that they were dynamite. I mean, one of the best tandems in the country, really. I thought certainly one of the better ones in the Sun Belt. So I'm willing to give Brinson and Vildor a pass for now just because of how good they've been and how good we all know that they are. Vildor twice was beaten on downfield passes against Luke Whittemore of Troy, and I thought Vildor had coverage. If you saw the game, you probably know what two plays I'm talking about. I thought the coverage on both of those plays was at least adequate. I mean, pretty tight coverage, and I thought Whittemore just made two plays in a row. And, you know, that's something you can live with, but what you can't live with is guys running just wide open across the field. I mean, there were a few times where Troy quarterback Sawyer Smith had two or three wide open options, and he just so happened to pick one. And more often than not, those guys were coming open across the middle of the field. That's something that I asked Coach Lunsford about after the game. I mean, he acknowledged it. He said it's something they got to work on. I said, you know, did you think, Coach, that Troy took some of ULM's game plan and implemented it into their game plan? And he said basically, not so many words, yes. And so now teams have obviously begun to see soft spots in the Georgia Southern zone defense out of Scott Sloan's 3-4. And so now it's Georgia Southern's turn to adjust. What are they going to do about the middle of the field in the passing game? Hopefully that question is answered at 5 p.m. on Saturday against Coastal Carolina in Conway, South Carolina. Finally, one more thing I want to touch on from the Troy game before we get to your tweets. The punting of McGill Bowerly was awful on Saturday. And twice Lunsford was, shall we say, persuasive in McGill Bowerly's face as he's walking off the field. He averaged right around 35 yards a punt and, you know, didn't do Georgia Southern any favors in the punting department in the field position game. I think Georgia Southern's average starting field position was their own 25, and Troy's average starting field position was their own 35. That's not a huge gap. That's a little thrown off by Troy starting on its own two-yard line for one of those series, which they ended up going 98 yards and scoring a touchdown on. But, yeah, Bowerly's got to be better. We know that. But I think the sophomore has shown flashes of being able to produce. I mean, you're not, all you're asking for is 40 yards a punt, 40, 42, 43 yards a punt, you know, would be excellent right now. 35 yards a punt on average won't do it. And Bowerly knows that. Lunsford knows that. You guys know that. But, you know, I had someone email me about why Bowerly wasn't being criticized equally as I was criticizing other players. I would say two things to that. You know, I don't want it to come off as if I don't think the players I'm criticizing are talented players. That's not the case. I think Georgia Southern has gobs of talent on this roster. And that's why these guys are criticized, because we know what they're capable of. So, but I do hear that, you know, secondly, I do hear that the complaints about not holding Bowerly to the same standard as other players. So for you that email me, that's my spiel on that. Bowerly's got to be better, and that's pretty obvious at this point. All right, let's jump to some of your tweets before we close out this episode. Let's see what we got. At @gsouthern_fball said, play calling seems to include too many dive/inside plays. We need to mix it up with the outside more often. All right, yeah, I've heard this a lot, and I couldn't agree more. But here's the thing you have to realize, and I'm sure this tweeter realizes this and you guys realize this, but when the play is called, it's not just called run up the middle. You know, Wirtz has the option to keep it or pitch it or hand it off. So something that Shai Wirtz is seeing over the last 2 weeks has led him to hand the ball off on those triple option plays more often than not. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm assuming he's seeing a spy on him, a linebacker spy or a safety spy, or he just, you know, wants to make sure he gives Fields his touches. And I can understand that, but yeah, it's becoming a little monotonous to see the runs up the middle go for 0 yards or negative yards. And this fan, like many other fans, you know, is getting a little tired of it, and I can understand that. But we do want to understand that a lot of the times these plays are not being just called up the middle. All right, Brick at Brick McBain says, got to get Kennedy the ball in creative ways. So you had a couple of tweets like this. Wes Kennedy was moved to running back a few weeks ago. We've touched on that extensively over on this podcast. But, you know, I like many of the fans out there, am becoming a little fed up with this notion that Wes Kennedy, and I don't know if you guys have heard this, a lot of the talk around Kennedy not receiving a lot of carries and not receiving a lot of targets out of the backfield now that he's a running back, a lot of the talk is because he's fumble prone. Well, you know, I don't know if, here's the thing. I don't know that Wes Kennedy has a fumble problem. You know, nothing comes to mind off the top of my head that he's fumbled 2, 3, 4 times in a game or anything like that. But here's the thing. I don't know that if that is the problem, are Lunsford and his staff punishing Kennedy for not holding on to the ball? Or are they saying, Kennedy, Wes, we love your big playability, we love your talent, but we cannot live with fumbles? Either way, if it's a punishment, it's got to end now. It's got to end this week. It's got to end right this moment. Got to find a way to get Wes Kennedy more than two carries in a ball game like he had on Saturday. You know, we all know his ability. So for him not to touch the ball more than twice on offense is uncalled for. If Lunsford and DeBess and staff are saying that they cannot live with the fumbles, I would just say, what was your offense doing while Kennedy was a slot receiver and heavily involved in the offense? Okay. Then you make the change. What is the offense doing now? Now, I know it's against a really quality defense in Troy, who is really talented on that side of the ball. We know that. But if it wasn't broke and you tried to tinker with it, now you've broken the whole thing. So either move it back to the way it was and make Darvarius Bargnair the backup slot and put Kennedy back in the slot, or, you know, live with this kind of offensive production, because the offense was going along just fine. And then all of a sudden a change comes on the depth chart one week, and I'm not saying it's the only reason why, but to pretend like Wes Kennedy is not a factor on offense is a joke. I mean, this guy has got to receive more touches, whether he fumbles or not, point blank. And, you know, that's all I got to say about that right now. But let's move on. A couple of tweets about the offensive line. This one from at Brandon CYP. O-line has really struggled the last couple weeks. Also, Wesley Kennedy has not gotten the ball enough. How do we get him more involved? I'm asking the same thing about Kennedy, Brandon, but we'll touch on the offensive line quickly. The offensive line has not played great over the last 2 weeks, but I thought just before that they were playing great. I mean, it's a lot to ask of an interior offensive line to run block over and over again against 7 and 8 man boxes. As far as being concerned with the offensive line moving forward, I'll keep it short and simple. The five guys you see on the Georgia Southern offensive line are the best five they have, and those are the five they're going with. So no changes are really going to be made there unless injuries pop up. But the guards and center Curtis Rainey have got to improve on the interior blocking. You got to average more than 3 yards a rush, and that's what Georgia Southern averaged on Saturday. If you remove the Monteo Garrett 29-yard rush, Georgia Southern averaged only 2.2 yards a rush on Saturday. That's not going to get it done. So the offensive line has got to improve. There won't be a change in personnel. There won't be a change in scheme. So they kind of are what they are for now, and you would like to see them improve. I still think Colberth and Brian Miller at right tackle, Colberth at left tackle, are playing well. And I don't think that they're part of the concern at all. I do often see the offensive line trying, especially the interior, trying to get to the second level and block the linebackers before the first level is blocked. That's concerning, but that's part of the scheme. So that's something that Georgia Southern will have to deal with moving forward. All right, finally, a tweet from at Thomas Gray. At Thomas Gray 43. Is Logan Wright the one who is going to break out at some point, this year or next? Logan Wright, the talented redshirt freshman, big-bodied back, tends to move the pile forward when he's tackled. Had 4 carries on Saturday, including 1 by the goal line. He's currently listed 4th on the depth chart, and Wes Kennedy is listed 3rd behind Fields and Garrett. But, you know, on Saturday, Kennedy carried it twice for a net of 10 yards. Wright carried it 4 times for a net of 11 yards. Obviously, neither one of those are mind-blowing numbers. But for me, Logan Wright's a quality back. I don't think that this year is a year you're going to see him, you know, break out in any capacity. He played well against New Mexico State when Fields was out. But, you know, yeah, moving forward, I think that Logan Wright's a really quality back. But, you know, two names to keep an eye on for Georgia Southern fans at the running back position. And I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but as far as 2019 goes, you should have a nice stable of backs that kind of all offer a little something different. You know, I assume Logan Wright will be the main guy. You'll have Wes Kennedy again. Who knows what he might be playing punter by then, but who knows where Wes Kennedy will be this time next year. But two guys that I think Georgia Southern fans should keep an eye out that haven't played this year are freshman Grant Walker out of the Atlanta area. Walker is a really athletic back, kind of a speed back. We've seen him sparingly, saw him a good bit in the spring game. He's going to be a good player. A guy that was not in the spring game and has not played, he had an injury his senior year of high school, is true freshman Andrew Cunningham. He's also going to be a quality running back for Georgia Southern moving forward. Those are two guys to keep an eye out, to keep an eye on before. One more tweet from Thomas Gray, at Thomas Gray 43. Didn't play great in Conway last year. How do we respond mentally and go to Conway and move on from the last 2 weeks? Well, that's the question on everyone's mind, Thomas, and I think this team has the makeup to move on from these two games and move forward. But they're a six-point favorite against Coastal right now. If we do see them struggle on Saturday and even lose on Saturday, then we got real problems. Then we got some negative momentum for the first time in the Chad Lunsford era. Then we're going to start asking some different questions. I do think Georgia Southern wins this game handily Saturday. We'll talk more about it on the podcast with Greg on Wednesday. But yeah, Thomas, to answer your question, how do they move forward? My answer is simply play better. Play better football, and they should be just fine in Conway on Saturday. All right, guys. Well, thanks for taking the time here to listen to the Georgia Southern Extra podcast. Check out savannahnow.com/sports this week. I'll have my column on the option offense on Monday online now, savannahnow.com/sports. And then on Tuesday, we'll have an Eagle Extras notebook before a game preview later in the week for Coastal Carolina. I do want to remind you guys, Georgia Southern men's basketball hosting George Mason on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Really, really big early non-conference game for the Eagles, who looked awesome in their first game against Carver, who is obviously not a powerhouse, but Georgia Southern's basketball team should be really, really good this year. And you get a chance to see them Tuesday night at Hanner Fieldhouse, 7 p.m. against the George Mason Patriots. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday. Take care.
Oh, he will. Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
Down the sideline. If he can get loose, he's gone. Iligwe will score.
The Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.